You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 10th of December, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, but only just really waiting for that US Federal Reserve interest rate decision, which is due out on Thursday morning. The index down 0.1%. We'll have the details with Hebe Chen from Vantage Australia in a few moments. But first, economists at some banks like those at CommBank and NAB say the Reserve Bank's next meeting in February is now live. That's despite the board leaving interest rates on hold yesterday. And it follows a more hawkish tone from Governor Michelle Bullock, who effectively ruled out further rate cuts, citing inflation concerns. Economists at UBS Investment Bank now believe there will be two rate rises from mid next year. And I spoke with their colleagues at UBS Global Wealth Management today, who are a little more reserved, but still agree the next move will be up. And that includes Chief of Investments, Andrew McCauley.
Well, our view now is that we expect the next move by the Reserve Bank of Australia to be up. The debate is just around how long they will be on hold. They certainly have been spooked by the most recent inflation numbers for the end of October, underlying inflation up 3.3%. And that was due to a number of factors, including electricity, takeaway food, coffee, and education, to name a few factors.
With this changing thought of interest rate expectations, what's this likely to do to investments in 2026?
Well, usually when you get rate rises, that negatively impacts on interest rate sensitive investments. Certainly, equities can be under pressure, the share market can be under pressure, and you can see sectors like REITs, real estate trusts, and consumer discretionary suffer as a result.
This is happening at a time where the US, though, is likely to be cutting interest rates. What are the implications for investors? We know that the Fed meeting is on right now, decision to come out tomorrow.
Yes, so we're expecting a rate cut overnight, and we expect another two in the first half of next year. What that means is we will probably see a stronger Aussie dollar. The path of least resistance will be up for the Aussie dollar. If you've got the RBA on hold or even perhaps raising soon versus the Fed, which is cutting rates, then that makes our currency look relatively more attractive because the yields that we're paying are better. It's also, if you're getting rate cuts in the States, it's also bullish for things like gold. Gold doesn't have a yield, it becomes relatively more attractive when interest rates are being cut. It's probably more positive for US equities as a whole and global equities as a whole, because it's not just about monetary policy. Cutting rates is certainly positive, but fiscal policy is also expansionary, both in the States and in Europe.
Okay, so with that in mind, how is 2026 going to be different for investors compared to 2025? Because in 25, we were in an environment in Australia anyway, where rates were coming down. We saw this attraction to the Magnificent Seven in particular and the AI story. How's next year going to be different?
2025 is certainly a very strong year, and our clients have enjoyed excellent performance on their portfolios as a result. And that's been driven by share markets. We're entering 2026 quite bullish again on share markets. You're asking what's different. What we would say is that it's not a blanket positivity across all sectors of all markets. We're saying to clients to be selective. You know, in the US, we're still particularly keen on technology stocks as a result of the AI thematic. In Europe, we like quality stocks that have cash flow, strong cash flow metrics, and in the defence and power sectors. For Australia, we're not negative, but the growth or earnings growth we're expecting in Australia of around 6 or 7% is less than the rest of the world. But that 6 or 7% is in contrast to 3 consecutive years of negative earnings growth for the ASX 200 when you look at the fiscal years. So we're actually more positive on Australia, and a lot of that positivity will depend on how commodity stocks go and if commodity prices rise as we expect they should.
And finally, just on another topic, I noticed UBS released its billionaires report also over the past few weeks. What I found interesting is this story around intergenerational transfer of wealth, particularly in Australia, $115 billion worth over the next 15. That's extraordinarily high, the same as Indonesia, a little below China. And while India has tripled, obviously India's population compared to Australia is vastly higher. What are the implications of this transfer, along with the opportunities and challenges?
So as you mentioned, Ricardo, we're expecting around US$115 billion of wealth to be transferred from billionaires to mostly their children over the next 15 years. And that's about as much as China. So it's a significant amount. The implications of that are that we need to educate the next generation in those families. It's not necessarily the case that that next generation will be interested in the business, but certainly they need to be aware of what's occurring in investment markets. There are some concerning statistics around very large percentage of wealth is lost by the third generation once people become very wealthy. So to avoid that, billionaires in general, they're aware of that and they're keen to make sure that the next generation is educated and is aware of what's happening in markets. The next generation also may have different priorities in terms of sustainable investing. There may be more emphasis on climate change. There may be more emphasis on social issues. There may be more emphasis on philanthropy. So this raises questions again around the education of the next generation.
That's Andrew McCauley there from UBS Global Wealth Management Australia. Before we take a close look at the way the Australian share market reacted today, let's take a deep dive into ETFs, exchange traded funds, because Australians are continuing to turn to them with more than 410,000 making their first investment in the asset class during this year. That's the second highest increase since 2020, according to industry research by BetaShares, which means Australian ETF investors have passed 2.7 million. Now, an exchange traded fund is an investment that holds a basket of assets similar to a traditional managed fund, but trades on the share market as a single stock. So to tell us more and where its popularity lies, I spoke with BetaShares Senior Investment Analyst Cameron Gleeson. Cameron, firstly, just how popular have ETFs become and how have they grown?
Yeah, ETFs in Australia are a force of nature. There's now 2,700,000 Australians who invest in ETFs. So the growth year on year is around 400,000 people in 2025. In Australia, the total number of people that hold or have invested in Australian listed shares is about 10 million. And if we look at that now, more than a quarter of those individuals hold ETFs, which is quite incredible given that 5 years ago, if we're having this conversation, the first question would have been, what does ETF stand for?
Well, given that, why have ETFs become so popular? What is it about them?
Well, if I look back to my parents' generation and perhaps my mum's portfolio, the typical investment options were blue chip Australian shares, a handful of perhaps 10 stocks that are household names, and then, maybe investment property. Given how global society has become, I think a lot of Australians recognise that some of the best opportunities are indeed not in Australia and are offshore. And ETFs really allow that low-cost access to all sorts of markets and asset classes. A lot of Australians also, I think, have become more savvy in terms of financial education and understanding concepts like diversification. It's often said that diversification is the only true free lunch in finance. And ETFs offer a really great way to diversify your portfolio in a single trade on the ASX rather than having to build a diversified portfolio by buying individual shares and securities and getting that diversification done yourself. So it's that ease of access, it's low cost, and it's taking advantage of some of the best attributes of investing.
Okay, so what kinds of ETFs have Aussies been attracted to over the past year and why?
There's been some really interesting trends over the last year, and within the growth of various cohorts, we often sort of think of ETF as a younger investor's tool, but actually the biggest growth in participation was in those who were in middle age. So that's where we've seen the greatest uptick in terms of new investors in ETFs. And these types of investors, they're possibly already paid off their mortgage and they're starting to think about retirement. Often income is a really important characteristic of what they want to get out of their investments. And indeed, we've seen some of the strongest growth has been in income-oriented ETFs. So ETFs that either hold shares and generate a high level of dividend franked income paid monthly, or indeed getting income out of things like cash and bonds to satisfy the cash flow needs of that particular individual. Other areas that have been popular, we often talk about ETFs as a great tool for getting broad exposure to the ASX 200, but we've indeed seen investors look for other ways to invest using ETFs, which may perhaps provide exposure to a portfolio of high-quality Australian companies, or Australian companies with good price momentum, or Australian companies that are trading cheap relative to the broad market. So ETFs are increasingly offer all sorts of tools that allow me to express a view or shape my portfolio depending on my own investment beliefs.
Okay, so when you're investing in a share, you're basically just buying a share of a company. But when you're investing in an ETF, obviously that can be managed though. So what are some of the pitfalls or some of the things investors need to understand when it comes to ETFs?
Yeah, look, it's really important to do your homework with regard to ETFs. In Australia, there's now 450, just over 450 ETFs available. And that's great. It means there's a lot of options, a lot of choice, but it does mean that you need to do your homework. A lot of those ETFs are, for example, actively managed, or they might have quite a specific investment strategy. So it's not just a matter of looking on the ASX website and looking at past performance and looking at the fee. It's about going to the ETF provider's website, getting to understand what the investment strategy is of that ETF. You can typically, across most ETFs, look through the underlying holdings, get some feel as to what that ETF looks like and what sort of exposure it's going to provide you. So doing your homework is critical. I think that's important for all investments. And the good thing about ETFs is the level of transparency is so high that many investors feel, they're quite empowered to be able to do that without the need of an expert advisor.
That is Cameron Gleeson from BetaShares. And we should just reiterate, as he mentioned, there are more than 450 ETFs in Australia. Many do charge management fees, so you need to keep an eye on that. And because they are listed on the share market, they can rise and fall. Remember, past performance is not indicative of future growth, so make sure you do your research. And with that, let's go to the Australian share market, which pretty much stayed on the sideline. Investors did anyway, ahead of that interest rate decision from the US Federal Reserve. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.1% to 8,579. Sectors ended mixed. 9 of the 11 sectors were lower. Information technology, industrials and energy, the worst performing. Materials rose, though. The best performing stock on the index today, Droneshield, up by 16%. The worst performance, Reliance Worldwide, down by about 5%. With more, I spoke with Hebe Chen, a market analyst at Vantage Australia. Hebe, interest rate decisions from both Australia yesterday, the US tomorrow, affecting the market. How so?
Yes, indeed. We do see the Aussie market seems to trade in the very, very tight range today. 10 out of 11 sectors in the red. I think that's a pretty clear sign of the how investors getting very cautious in between the two major interest rate decision. For the Aussie ones, I think the weakness also reflecting a shift in terms of expectation for 2026. We do think the market has changed the expectation, actually increased the rate high expectation for February to 40%. And that's pretty high and pretty changed the whole playbook. So I think it's probably understandable that the cautiousness in the market. And as you mentioned, that we are going to have the Fed meeting decisions tomorrow morning. Well, it's a done deal. The market is now pricing about 88% chance of a rate cut by tomorrow. But the more important thing is the prediction for 2026. So they were definitely setting the tone and also will reshape the market expectation into the new year. So that's why that we do think the investors feel quite cautious sort of ahead of tomorrow's decision.
Is there any company news that you're keeping an eye on today?
Well, two companies that caught my eye today. Number one is the global company NVIDIA. And the focus here is that there's sort of a chip restrictions in between China and US. Early this week, that US seems to set a green light for the NVIDIA to sending their H200 chip to China. But interestingly is this sort of green light seems not welcomed by China's side. That we do heard today that China potentially were putting more restriction for the particular or the certain companies to get access to NVIDIA's chips. So that's just not a company level news. I would say that the development of here were probably more highlighting the tensions in between the US and China, which I believe was definitely a key area of uncertainty into 2026. And for the local companies, that I think the gold miners is the one of the not many bright spotlight today. And the one of the gold miners, the Ramelius Resources share price jumping up as much as 8% after the company announced a share buyback as well as the increase the minimum dividend. We all know that how gold prices performed this year, and gold miners seems to be one of the biggest gain from here. And I think the news here is just trying to tell the market is that they're not just expect to perform very well this year, but potentially will continue to shine into 2026.
Okay, and finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors as we are heading to the new year?
Well, we now have only, as you mentioned, 20 days left in the year, and I think that the investors now have to get ready to stepping into a new year of uncertainty. So I would highly recommend traders to taking a step back to reassess your asset allocation. And the reason being for that, especially for Aussie investors, is now we are expecting the Australia will kind of follow a very different policy path apart from the other developed countries like US and UK, even China. And Australia and Japan are the only two developed countries that is anticipated to increase the interest rate. So, which means that the equity for the Aussie market will potentially have to induce more pressures compared to the other markets. But on the other hand is the currency that we're expecting, the Aussie dollar and potentially Japanese yen, will outperform into 2026. So that potential will change your playbook into 26. Another thing for the more near term is in the early 2026, January to February, we're going to welcome a quite big pack of delayed economy data from the US. What that means for the market is that we continue to have to face the uncertainty for the economy front. So that means the equity market will have to potentially will get more volatilities, but the commodity market, like safe haven asset, like gold and silver, will also anticipate to continue to stay strong. So in terms of the into the new year playbook, I would recommend to reassess and readjust your asset allocation to fit into the new year of uncertainty.
It's Hebe Chen there from Vantage Australia, and she wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe button and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.